So yeah, like maybe the first thing is like how you met the other co-founders, like where you met.
Yeah, I'm going to tell the truth. I don't care if it implicates other people.
Okay.
Is it recording?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay. Sorry, I thought you were just briefing me. Okay, so how did I meet them? Basically, we were all students in Cardiff University, and we all had the same dope dealer. And what... I won't mention any names, but he ended up as a founder member of No Fit State Circus. So the rest of us met round his house, hanging out, talking stories, listening to music, wondering what to do with our lives, getting stoned, and somebody came in one day, my friend Will Taylor, and he'd been taught to juggle by somebody, and he got hold of a bunch of potatoes and said, here, look, you know, we can all learn how to do this. And that was the start of it. We started juggling potatoes at a party and learning to juggle and going, hey, this is quite good fun. So we were still students at that point. And then I was at the university hospital doing physiotherapy, and I saw a poster on the wall saying juggling workshops at the Rubicon Dance Centre, and I was like, oh, brilliant. So I told all my mates, and we all went down to this juggling workshop where we met Toby Philpott, who was one of the 10 people that had been at the very first European juggling convention, and he'd just landed in Cardiff and was going out with somebody in my college, an occupational therapist. So he wanted to do some teaching juggling. So we all signed up, and we had to pay £1 to go to this class. And there were about 15 of us that went, and the Rubicon charged Toby £15 for the hall hire. So we were like, this is silly, you know, why don't we start a class at the university? Because they'll give us the space for free and they'll pay you to teach us. So we signed up and got a university society together called the Cardiff Juggling Society, and from that a whole bunch of us and our friends started going there once a week to learn how to do it with Toby teaching, and that way he actually got paid something rather than nothing. So after a few days of doing that, he took us out on, not a few days, a few weeks, he took us out onto the streets of Cardiff and said, let's have a go at doing this in public, see if we can make any money. And I mean, we were pretty awful, and I remember some kid throwing 2p and saying, hey, you lot, juggle that between you. It's like, So yeah, that's how we started, and that turned into Balls Up Jugglers, which was a group of about 20 people that had all learned to juggle and wanted to do silly performances. So we did a couple of years of Balls Up Jugglers doing silly performances while we were still finishing college. And at that point, afterwards, we're going, okay, well, what are we going to do? And Balls Up Jugglers kind of split into two fractions, not for any bad reason, but half of them went off and started a whole food vegetarian restaurant, and the others decided to start a circus, and that's where No Fit State came out of.
Can you describe what Tom was like at that time?
So Tom was working at the Adventure Playgrounds. So he was the only one of us that wasn't a university student. And he was working at the Cardiff Adventure Playground. So we were involved in adventure play as Balls Up Jugglers. We used to go and... Adventure play was like something that happened for teenagers and young people in Cardiff that was really creative. And there were a whole bunch of really creative people working on the adventure playgrounds, and they used to set up things for kids like wild adventures in woods where people would pop out as characters, and they'd always come to us and say, will you come and inhabit our adventures? So Tom was working there. He wasn't a student. He was dyslexic, which is why he hadn't been into college and was doing something that was not, you know, something where he had to do academia. But he was really good at doing physical things. So and learning to juggle with the rest of us. So, I was with Tom at that point. We were a couple for about 2 years, so we were going out with each other. I'd just come back from India when we started going out with each other. I'd finished my course, worked for a year as a physiotherapy whilst being in Balls Up Jugglers, came back from India, got together with Tom, was living in a house with Pete and Dave, not Richie, and that's the point at which, beginning of 1986, that we formed No Fit State Circus.
Just one thing before we go on to the formation of the company. Thinking back to those student days, we were smoking weed together, you're in Cardiff. What's the sort of the youth culture like? Is there like punk in Cardiff? Is there, what music are you listening to? Like, how are you dressing?
Well, we were basically, I think we were just looking. I mean, I was into sort of rock and reggae, and we would go to gigs in the student union. We were more into enjoy music, but we were also heavily engaged in politics, both within the student union and externally. So, and at that time, there was the miners' strike going on, there was apartheid, Thatcher was in power, there weren't really any jobs for us, so, and that was one of the reasons that we decided to start busking, because we were all on the dole and we wanted to earn some extra pennies. So I would say that it was a kind of post-70s hippie culture. A wide range of musical tastes, but, scruffy unisex dressing and engaged with a lot of politics. Green and Common was going on as well around that time, and we never really worked as I said, we never really considered ourselves artists when we were making a company. We considered ourselves doing something for politics and to be able to avoid getting a grown-up job and to earn some sort of living.
Do you remember the moment when you decided to form a company, or the moment when somebody first said, hey, what about if we made a company out of this?
I remember arriving back from India and the others were already talking about it, going, what should we do? These lot of people want to make a restaurant. We haven't got any jobs. And I'd spent 3 months travelling around India juggling, learning to juggle, and a couple of months, 6 months altogether I'd been away practicing circus, and arrived back into that situation where I was a much better juggler. They'd been practicing as well. Nobody still had any jobs, and it was just a sort of progression to start. I think Tom and I went to visit his brother in Belgium when we started doing busking on the street there and earning money from it. So we were doing little bits and pieces of working in community festivals, going on the streets in Cardiff and busking, and it was a sort of natural progression to form that company, because we were sort of already doing the work, and then Arts Play Umbrella went, we can give you work, we can give you work teaching other people circus, and we can give you work selling your shows, acting as an agent, but you need to get yourselves together and make it more official. And at that time, the enterprise allowance started as well, and we realised that if we applied for that, then we wouldn't have to sign on every 2 weeks, and we could go away and work for Arts Play Umbrella, go on tour, do shows without having to be back in Cardiff on our signing on days. So that made a real difference. So yeah, that's enterprise allowance, Arts Play Umbrella, and us going, let's have a go at doing this. And the name itself had actually came from the Adventure Playgrounds, because when we were all there as Balls Up, somebody, Tom always claimed it was his idea, but it was Mick, who said, you lot are just a bunch of, you lot are just no fit state. And then we've, and then Tom thought that's an incredibly funny name for a circus because of the connotations with Chinese state, and claimed that it was his idea, but actually confessed in one of the other oral histories that he got it from his mate Mick.
Truthful out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something sort of interesting in that, that maybe if somebody looks at Novit State from a distance or is just been sort of aware of the company, they would think that there's a moment when Novit State becomes international, and maybe that's later on and they get, when you have Immortal or the larger show and start touring around. But it sounds like actually you were moving around a lot, like being in India, being in Belgium.
Oh yeah, people, you know, even our own company describes a moment where we became, but no, we toured a lot. I mean, we were touring a lot in the early days. We toured for 3 years or 4 years from the summer of 86 to the summer of 89. So 3 years in a row we toured around with in a tent. So we were producing the shows for John Paul's tent. So Dave and I had the Dangerous Duo, and Richie, Pete and Tom had the Risky and Pink, and together we had a sort of pantomime that we created each year for those 3 years, so a larger scale show with the five of us. So he, John Paul, had the circus tent, and we would go and play those three shows every day for a week and then move to the next town and do it. So there'd be a Risky show, a Dangerous Duo show, our afternoon big show, and then we would be doing teaching workshops in the morning. So, you know, the five of us pretty much did everything for him. And we had a great time doing tours of all across the UK for the whole summer, rarely getting a day off, you know. Really, we would work from Tuesdays to Saturdays doing performances and then take down after the show on Sunday afternoon, drive and move to the next place and put it all up and start again for the following week. And at that time we even worked in Zippo's tent. He had a like tiny white marquee with one van, and we used to do our shows for him as well. So between Arts Play Umbrella and Zippo, we would have a full summer of work, and in between the tent gigs sometimes we'd go off and do our own other gigs with Dangerous Duo or Risky and Pink as well. So we were, yeah, really busy in those days. Touring the whole of the UK, did a lot of work in Scotland. And then in, I guess at some point we got a bit like, wow, blimey, we're working really, really hard and Arts Play Umbrella's getting all the credit for this. So we decided to go out and buy ourselves our own tent, thinking if we were working that hard, at least No Fit State, it should be called the No Fit State Tour, not the Arts Play Umbrella Tour. I mean, there were other people working in Arts Play Umbrella as well, like Goffy the Clown and Green Ginger Puppets, and so it was, we'd found a lifestyle that we really, really liked, and in those days there was summers in the UK and we used to spend a glorious amount of time in lovely parks all the way across the UK doing shows for kids and families and having a really nice lifestyle, waking up in the morning, opening the door to your caravan to lovely surroundings and fountains and flowers and things that you'd never have in your own garden. So it's great.
Before we sort of like get onto the tent, again, so like in that really like early phase and you just formed the company, do you have like a memory of what your ambitions for it were? I mean, maybe that lifestyle is one of the things.
Yeah, it was definitely about lifestyle and about being able to express a political opinion. And I also remember that one of the things we always said really early on was that we need to, if we're going to keep doing it, we need to get better at what we do all the time. So that was the sort of pact that we made, that if we didn't get better, we'd give up. And also, that would give us the opportunity to take risks to try and improve ourselves, because we knew what our baseline was, which was to be back on the dole. So we could take a chance to do something to make ourselves better, and if it didn't work, we'd be back on the dole. So that's how we operated in those early days. It was like, yeah, as long as this is fun and we keep getting better, we'll keep doing it. That lasted for quite a while until the first person of the five dropped out.